Amen. Take a seat. Hey, give it up for the worship band. Hey, I'm thankful that you're here. I know spring break is upon us. The coronavirus is upon us. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, but I'm glad that you are here. Hey, something really cool I'm excited about tonight is if you see on the speakers here, we have Bibles. Now, I know some of y'all come here without Bibles. We will get into this every single time we meet. So if you don't have a Bible, we'd love for you to use this during this time. So if you don't have a Bible, we have 10 on each side. So come up and grab a Bible as I start my intro. We want you into God's Word. So if you don't got one, come on up. And then after the service, you can just put it right back where you found it. Hey, as Maddie said, we are on commandment number 5. Can anyone name the first 4 commandments?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, close, Avery. You shall have no other God before me. No idols. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And keep the Sabbath holy. Does anyone know what commandment number 5 is? What we got? Honor your father and mother. Hey, we did this a couple weeks ago. I need your undivided attention. I want everyone to lean over, lean in front of you, look down. You see your toes? They're probably going to get stepped on tonight once again. Okay, just get ready for it. Hey, turn to Exodus 20:12. That is our first passage we are going to be in tonight. It says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So we've gone through 4 commandments. And what you will see here is there's a natural divide in the 10 commandments. The first 4 deal with our vertical relationship with the Lord, about loving God, right? Our series is Love God, Love Others. The first 4 deal with our vertical relationship with the Lord. The next 6 deal with how we love other people. Commandment number 5 is crucial. It's a hinge verse. It's a hinge commandment in the 10 commandments because it lays the foundation how we treat all of the other commandments and how we treat all people. The family, or the way we honor our mother and our father, is a template for how we are to treat and honor everyone else, especially those in authority over us. So tonight, I want to see what God's standard for this is. What's God's standard for honoring our father and mother? We're going to see how we screw this up, how we mess this up, because we like to do that, right? We're sinners. But we will also see how Jesus redeems this for us. But I want you to have this thought in your mind as we go throughout tonight. I believe that the family relationship is the primary way that God desires to shape us in submission and obedience. The family relationship is the primary way God desires to shape us in submission and obedience. Let me pray as we jump into God's Word. God, we thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you for your living and active Word. Lord, it is relevant in all ways, in all pages, in all words. God, may our hearts be open to you tonight, and would you speak truth? Would you convict us, and would you encourage us? God, we thank you for your love. Amen. All right, we're going to flip to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, that's in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And tonight we're going to see that God's standard for us is to honor our parents by obeying and respecting them with a heart of gratitude. God's standard for us is to honor our parents in obedience and respecting them with a heart of gratitude. Verses 1 through 3 in chapter 6 say this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. That sounds a lot like Exodus 20:12, doesn't it? So we see in verse 1, I'm just going to make a little aside, something for us to know while we hear these different things in our culture. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You're going to hear a lot of times, and you guys are probably hearing it in your schools, that a lot of people are saying, oh, that is my truth. oh, that is my truth. Oh, it's what I believe. It's all about my feelings and my desires. And we'll say, oh, it may be wrong in your eyes, but it's my truth. You can't tell me I'm wrong. And people say there's no absolute truth, that there's no truth that is the truth. Well, we see here that the Bible makes claims of absolute truth. It says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I just want to make that aside for you to know, where do you find truth in this world? You find it in God's word. That's why we love the Bible here. That's why we encourage you to read it every single day. It's the absolute truth. It's the living and active word of God. But in this verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents. I know you guys probably don't struggle with obedience, do you? As middle schoolers? Oh, no, never. You guys would never. So we see, hey, in verse 1, God's design, his standard is for you to obey your parents. To fully obey them. That is his standard. I hear all the times that there's students that are frustrated with their parents. They're frustrated because they keep asking them to do the dishes. They keep asking them to make their bed. They keep asking them to do these things. And students and kids, they get frustrated with this. They start arguing with their parents. You guys probably may find yourself in that situation sometime. By raise hands. You guys ever get frustrated with your parents in that way? You kind of disobey them? Yeah, there's three. I see two hands, 2 feet. I see you. But hey, let me be clear. It says obey. It says obey your parents. Now, if your parents are telling you to do something that's contrary to what Scripture says, right? If they're saying, hey, Easton, I need you to go murder someone. Be like, hey, Bart, I can't do that. I can't do that, right? But if they're not telling you something that is contrary to Scripture, we're called to obey it. No matter, it doesn't say in verse 1, children, obey your parents only if you feel like it, only if they're asking you to do something you like, then obey. No, it says obey. We forget that sometimes. Colossians 3:20 says, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. When we honor our parents, when we obey our parents, it pleases the Lord. And we are living lives not to please ourselves. We're not living lives to please other people. We're only living lives to please the Lord, to glorify the Lord, to praise the Lord. And Scripture says it pleases the Lord when you obey your parents. Now, the most famous response you get from students and kids, when their parents ask them to do something or tell them to do something, there's a one-word answer that everyone always replies with. Why? Or no? That backfired. A lot of you ask, why? Why do I need to go clean my room? Why do I need to do that? Why can't my little sister, why can't little Johnny go do that? Why me? I just want to imagine, you guys have probably been in this situation where you've been with a little kid. I'm just imagining a situation where a little kid sees a big bucket of Lincoln Logs. You guys know what Lincoln Logs are? And this little kid's like, this should be a good idea, and then just dumps it on the floor, right? And then that little kid, he's playing for about 20 minutes, building himself a little log cabin, and then he gets bored. And then he just leaves this big mess and comes over here, and you, in the situation, you're in charge of this room, and you're like, hey, little Johnny, hey, can you go clean those up? Can you clean that up? And little Johnny goes, well, why? And you're like, so no one trips? He goes, well, why? Well, so they don't get hurt. Well, why? Right? At that point, you're like, okay, little Johnny, I'm about to throw you through the wall, right? You guys, hey. That is a lot of times how you act towards your parents. You keep asking why. A, you don't deserve the why. Verse 1 says, obey your parents. And your parents are going to work alongside you. They're not just to make you do all this hard work and just for the heck of it. Right? There's a reason to why they're asking you to do it. Now, in the moment, you'd be like, oh, I'm just really frustrated. They're not telling me the why. Just because you're feeling that in that moment doesn't mean that you disobey. what you do in that moment, you're like, Dylan, I'm so frustrated. They're not telling me why. They're not explaining it to me. Let me tell you what to do. Obey, and then talk to them afterwards. Be like, hey, it's frustrating me. I want to obey you. I want to honor you. But I'm just really struggling with the why. When you obey, that smooths everything over. If you would just stop in the moment, not obey, and say, well, why? That's only going to escalate things, and there's only going to be an argument because of that. This moves us on to, well, why do we obey? Why do we obey our parents? Number two, verse two, it says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with the promise. Why? Because our parents are worthy of our honor. Our parents are worthy of our honor. And honor, I want you to think this word defined is something that is weighty, heavy. That the word honor means something that is weighty, that is heavy. Being a parent is an honorable task. It's a heavy task. A lot of you guys have brothers and sisters. You guys have no idea what your parents do for you. You can't imagine all of the lengths that they go to make sure that you are fed, that you stay alive, that you are clothed, that you may have other siblings and they're working with all of the schedules every single day. And through all that, they're trying to train you up to trust in the Lord, to follow the Lord. There's a lot of things your parents are doing for you that you overlook. With that, Deuteronomy 21, you can look up this story later, but there's a story in Deuteronomy 21 when there is a son that dishonors his father, that disobeys and dishonors his father. You know what happens to him? You know, sometimes you guys might get grounded. Some of y'all might get spanked. My dad always had the belt, but there's this one punishment that just was humiliating. He would have us, you know, my family's watching TV, and he'd go to the kitchen and say, you see that corner? And I said, yeah. He goes, go put your nose in it. So I would literally stand there for hours with my nose pressed up against the wall. Like, man, I felt humiliated. My brother's just laughing at me, right? Do you think in Deuteronomy 21, this is what happens to the son that dishonors his father? No, you know what happens? They take the son outside of the city gates, and the men in the city stone the son to death. They stone him to death for disobeying and dishonoring your parents. Some of you guys are like, that makes no sense because dishonoring your parents have become so normal to you that you think that's a little extreme for something you do all the time. Them putting that in Deuteronomy shows that being a parent, honoring your parents, is a weighty thing. It's a heavy thing, that they are worthy of our honor. It should be taken seriously. And not only with our parents, like I said, this commandment sets a foundation for all other people in our life, how we love them and honor them, but especially those in authorities over us. Think about this. Principals, teachers, connect group leaders, small group leaders, discipleship group leaders, youth pastors, pastors, everybody. You are called to honor them. That means the math teacher that everyone doesn't like, that gives everyone homework and doesn't explain anything to you, she is worthy of your honor. You aren't to go talk bad about her behind her back. You're not to bash her with your friends. Those in authority, they may act wrong. They may not be the nicest. But because they are in that position, they are worthy of our honor. And when we learn that in our parents, when we honor them, it becomes easier to honor those in authority over us. Gen Z, millennials have an authority problem. And we learn that. We learn submission, obedience in our family. Verse 3 says, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. This is a promise, which is the first commandment with one. What promise is he talking about? If you obey your parents, does that mean you're going to live to 150? No, it's not going to mean that you're going to live to 150. What you see is in the Bible, people see, oh, there's all this rules and regulations. They don't let you have fun. But really what you see in Scripture is a structure. It's a structure that God has laid out. It's living and active. It's relevant for today, just like it was in Jesus' time. That the scripture is a structure for us to enjoy God, enjoy this life at the most extreme level. That if we honor our parents, our relationship with our parents is going to be exponentially better to compared to if we just argued with them all the time, right? If we obeyed our parents, we loved our parents, we honored our parents, that's going to go one way. And then if we continually argue with our parents and we continually ask why and disobey, our life is going to look a lot different. That God has laid out in Scripture a structure that we can enjoy Him and find the most satisfaction in life because that structure is centered around Him and not ourselves. We find most satisfaction in God. But we end up turning to things that we want, that we find satisfaction in, and we will find dissatisfaction and disappointment every time. You can turn a couple chapters back to the left, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. So that is God's standard for honoring your parents, to obey and honor with a heart of gratitude, that you're thanking them for everything that we do. Ephesians 2 is telling us that we mess the standard up with our selfishness and our pride. We mess the standard up with our selfishness and our pride. We struggle with obedience because we think we know better. We think we know what is best for us. As a middle schooler, we're like, we got it all figured out. Mom, stop asking me to clean my room because I'm not going to make my bed because tonight I'm going to get back into my bed. Right? I disagree with you. I'm with the parents on that. We think we know better. Some of you guys are like, I can make all the decisions myself. Some of you guys are like, man, I'm so wise right now. But some of you guys saying you're so wise right now are the same kids that licked the gum tree at Falls Creek. That's not a very wise thing to do. Right? I'm not going to go to the student that licked the gum tree for wisdom. Sorry, Alexander. Hey, let's bring it back in. Bring it back in. We don't understand that the brain isn't fully developed until the age of 25. So for some, you guys are halfway there. Yet we're still selfish and prideful when we act towards our parents because we think we've got it all figured out. We think we can play video games for 4 hours a day and still everything be fine. That our future is going to be set up. That our relationship with God is going to be satisfied. We think we have it all figured out. Ephesians 2 tells a little bit of a different story. I've quoted this verse and these verses a lot, but man, they're worth coming back to. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 say this. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So this scripture is talking about our depravity, of our state before we have accepted Jesus, right? We were not able, we were sons of disobedience, that we were children of wrath, and it's only by the grace of God, that the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are able to be called sons of Him. Yet when we're saved, does that mean we sin no more? No, we're still sinful. We still mess up. And there's still this seed of disobedience, of being a child of wrath, that we act on that and we let that take over sometimes. We forget this identity that we once had and this action that is coming up inside of us. And when we forget that, it comes at our own risk because then we act on those desires, we act on that sin, we act on that pride and selfishness, and it breaks our relationship with our parents and it separates us because we continue to disobey and we continue to dishonor them. When God clearly shows us that His standard is for us to obey our parents, yet we continue to turn to our pride and obedience. I want to ask you these questions and see if your answer is yes or no to these. You don't have to say it out loud. I want you to say them in your head. Do you ever talk back to your parents? Do you ever hide anything from them, both physical and emotional? Do you ever silently curse them? Do you ever talk bad about them behind their back? Do you ever disobey when they're telling you to do something? All of us answered yes to all of them. We have dishonored our parents. We've broken the standard. We are found guilty because of our disobedience. And we need to take that seriously. But the lucky thing is, the story doesn't end us there. We're not in Deuteronomy chapter 21 where we're getting stoned to death, but luckily, Jesus comes onto the scene. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. So we've seen what the standard is. We see how we mess it up with our selfishness and our pridefulness. And now we see that you can't be the perfect son or daughter. You don't measure up. We don't measure up to that. But luckily, we serve the perfect son. Matthew 3, 16 and 17 say this. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. Verse 17, and behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. That Jesus in all things was submissive to the Father, and the Father was pleased in him. Now, there was never a moment that God was not pleased with Jesus. There are many moments where our parents are not pleased with us, right? We don't measure up, but thankfully, we have an example in Jesus. So you might be asking, well, okay, Dylan, well, I'm like this child of wrath. I'm a disobedient son or daughter. How do I become like Jesus, right? You've heard of the word two Sundays ago. You guys went over in Connect Groups, sanctification, the process of becoming more like Jesus. We can't measure up to Jesus, but the more time we spend with him, the more time we spend in God's word, the more time we spend praying to the Lord, the more we become like him. And the more our actions begin to change, not because our moral reasoning where we just want to go do those things, so we're going to be obedient. No, it's a desire that is coming out of us because the Holy Spirit working in us. So we look to Jesus as our example. So right now, you know, okay, Dylan, all this sounds good. How do I do this practically? How do I honor my mother and my father practically? I've got about six ways that you can do that. First, I just talked about spend time in God's word. Spend time in God's word. Spend time in God's word. There is nothing more important. It will change you. It's living and active. We believe that. God's word says that. That when you spend time with him each and every single day, you begin to take in these truths and you begin to change little by little by little. He will change you from the inside out. Number two, repent of your sins. Repent of your pridefulness and your selfishness and ask forgiveness from your parents. This is a challenge for every single one of you. I want you tonight to go up to your parents and ask for forgiveness. Because you've all disobeyed them. You've all dishonored them. We see how weighty their position is, yet we've dishonored them. Go up to them and ask for forgiveness. They will be floored if you do that. Right? So that is my challenge. You go up to them, ask for forgiveness, and say, I know that you are doing so much for me. Thank you for everything that you're doing. Thank you for feeding me. Thank you for giving me a house to live in, a room, a bed to sleep in, bringing me to church. Thank them for that, but ask for forgiveness. Now, we're going to also be emailing this sermon out and the questions to your parents. So they're going to have follow-up, so they're going to know that I'm giving you this challenge, right? Parents, if you're listening to the sermon right now, I'm challenging them. Go check with your students. Number three, respect, obey, and thank. You ask for forgiveness. Now you respect them. You honor them. You obey them and you thank them. That not only goes for your parents, but that goes for your teachers, principals, and everyone who is in authority over you. Honor them, respect them, even when everyone else is not. Your relationship with your parents sets the standard for how you treat other people. And there's some of you in here tonight say, Dylan, I don't come from a home that loves Jesus. I don't come from a home that honors Jesus and that is wanting me here, that's bringing me here. Maybe you came with a friend tonight. You're not lost. It's not like, oh, you don't have a mom and dad that loves Jesus. Oh, then you can't do anything, right? No, you have a family here. Remember, the family relationship is the primary way that God uses to teach you submission, obedience, teaches you his love. So if you don't have parents that love Jesus, that's training you in the ways of the Lord, look to the back of the room. There are adults in here. Maddie, myself, Jeff, Courtney, everyone who works here, who's in the back volunteering their time, cares for you. They love you. I had a senior adult that was about 70 that was my small group leader on Wednesday night that loved me, that cared for me. I had a youth pastor that took me in. I had an FCA coach that took me in, and I ran to those guys every single time because my dad wasn't leading me at home. But you have people here that care about you, that love you, that want you to love Jesus so, so much. Take advantage of that. But always remember, you see Jesus in the garden at the end, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's there and he's kneeling and he's asking the Father in chapter 24, verse 31, to, if you will, take this cup of wrath from me. Now, if anybody could just step out of that suffering, it would be Jesus, right? He didn't deserve any of that. He was sinless. But what happened? He said, not my will, but yours be done. He submitted to the Father. And because he submitted to the Father, we now have access to life. We have access to a relationship with Jesus, all because of Jesus submitting to the Father and going to the cross for us. So tonight, if you are a believer in here, I pray that you are convicted. I pray that you would see how you are dishonoring your parents. You see what God's standard is. You see that you don't measure up, but you see that Jesus gives us that example, and he gives us ways that we can make it right with our parents, asking for forgiveness. And there are those in here tonight that don't know Jesus. Maybe you don't have parents that love Jesus that aren't training you in that way. And you never made a personal commitment to Jesus, that you've never made a profession of faith. And you want to do that tonight. You recognize your sinfulness. You recognize the dissatisfaction that comes with that. I pray that you would see Jesus tonight and you accept him because he is loving you. He looks at you, he knows you, values you, and he loves you. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for convicting us and stepping on our toes with hard truth. Lord, we thank you for your love that you come in with, Lord, because we don't measure up. We can't. But it's only through you, only through the Holy Spirit working inside of us that we can live a life that is honoring to you and honoring to our parents and those around us. God, I pray that if there are relationships in here tonight with students and parents, that they would go home and they would ask for forgiveness for their sins, for their disobedience and their dishonoring them. And God, I pray for those tonight that don't know you, that they would take that bold step and accept you as their Father. Lord, we thank you. Amen. Now, before you go to small groups, if you have not made a decision to follow Jesus, if you've never made that profession of faith, if you've never followed through in obedience and baptism, I'll be right here next to the stage. All right? You are dismissed.